Well, and welcome to this week's edition of Racing Hotspot. It's been a couple weeks, but we're back here on the podcast. We've both had a lot of things going on in the past week or so, or a couple weeks. Post New Hampshire Motor Speedway, things just got crazy schedule-wise and life-wise. We'll talk about that more. Devin Poslusty here with the co-host, Mr. Jordan Jenkins. Jordan, how are you? What was that?
I'm doing pretty good, Devin. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I think you have... We're doing this on FaceTime this week. I think... Hold on. He picked the phone up. Try that again. How you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing good, Devin. How about yourself?
There he is. I'm good. For some reason, we had a little bit of an audio issue there, but that's okay. But here we are. Devin Poslusty, Jordan Jenkins, coming out of a busy weekend Formula One, racing in Britain, and IndyCar running at Mid-Ohio, and then NASCAR running in the streets of Chicago, which had its own news, which is the announcement of the electric vehicle and another shot at running at Chicago and all the drama that came along with that. We'll talk about that coming up. But real quick, Jordan, I know you had a busy weekend, three different days, three different racetracks. Go ahead, take us to Short Track Saturday.
All right. So as you said it, 3 days, three different tracks. Friday, I was at Claremont Motorsports Park for their big Independence Day Classic show that was headlined by the Granite State Pro Stock Series. And then I went over to my usual place on Saturday, Star Speedway. And then I was at Hudson on Sunday. But on Friday, I mean, obviously, that was only my second time I've ever been to Claremont. And I will say, I mean, that is a really nice facility in Claremont. It just kind of... It kind of stinks when, they're struggling with car counts because of obviously where their location is compared to where, like, the Lee or Hudson or where all the other short tracks are all nearby to each other. But, headlined by the Granite State Pro Stock Series, that was pretty much a snoozer. Hmm. I mean, it was... You had 16 cars in it. The number 60 of DJ Shaw, who runs in the American Canadian Tour, ended up with the victory. And what was a photo finish with the 77 of Jeremy Sorrell, because I went to a green-white checkered. So that kind of what made the race kind of, at least we made it to the end. But the 90 of Casey Cole was actually dominating for the first portion of that race, probably the first like 30 or 40 laps or so until a caution came out. A couple cars pitted, including Cole, and he couldn't quite get up to the front. He ended up finishing fourth. And then the 97 of Joey Pohl ended up finishing third. His last name isn't Pohl, by the way. It's a long name. But everyone just calls him Joey Pohl. But the finish was so close that even race monitor couldn't get it right of who actually finished first. They actually had the 60 of Shaw finishing second when obviously they look at the replay because they have that capability with Race Day TV. Mm-hmm. As they saw the 60 actually cross the line first, but the transponders say otherwise, but it was just that close of a finish.
That's insane.
And then on top of that, at Claremont, you also had the Mini Stocks, Outlaws, Pure Stocks, Ridge Runners, Six Shooters, and Super Street. So, very long day. Great racing on all those divisions. And then Saturday at Star, it was our big Racers Honoring Racers 76 event, open tour modified event. That is put on by Mike Parks, the general manager of Claremont Motorsports Park, and the racing guys. And I did not announce that started that on Saturday because it's a track rental. But what I did do was social media for the mods that day. And I mean, that was just a great day all around. We thought that the day before there was like an 80% chance of scattered thunderstorms in Epping that day. Wake up the next day and it was all clear, so we went on with it. Never rained, so it was good that, you know, we didn't make an early call on it. And we had six shooters, Nelcar Bandoleros, Nelcar Legends for two features, Open Tour Modifieds, Pure Stocks, and Street Stocks. For the six shooters, the 18 of Matthew Hurdle ended up with the win. And the Nelcar Bandoleros, the number 04 of Brody Wakefield ended up with the win, beating out the 38 of Bryson Robidoux, who both of those two were pretty much dominant. Those were the first two. Like, the third place car, the 19 of Greason Day, was pretty much a whole half a track behind them. But they were, Robidoux was treating it like it was Daytona. He was trying a lot of crossover moves. They were having a great battle. That was like, there was only six Bandoleros, but for only six, that was an amazing show that they put on. For the Nelcar Legends in the first feature, the number 09 of Josh Parsons ended up with the win over Cole Roby finishing second, Trevor Krause finishing third. The second feature, which was a makeup of Friday Night at Star when they got rained out, the 7 New York of Oregon Parent finishing first, Cole Roby finishing runner-up again, and Jacob Burns finishing third. And then for the Pure Stocks, we had the number 14 of Andrew Harmon come out on top. And then in the Street Stock, or the Super Street feature, Jamie Renfrew Jr., who is a very well name here in New Hampshire in the short track scene, ended up with the Super Streets win. And now on to, which was the big main event that drew the crowd, the Racers Honoring Racers 76 at Star. We had 26 cars entered, 24 made the field. Just to include some of the names that were in this race, you had the 25 New Hampshire Brian Roby. You had another 25 of Matthew Swanson. You had the 8 of Woody Pitcat in it. You had Anthony Nocella, who's full-time in the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour racing. And then, of course, you had probably the biggest name in Open Tour Mod racing is Big Money Matt Hirschman, also was in racing in this race. Matt Hirschman ended up with the win, beating out Anthony Nocella. Brian Roby finished third. And that was the first time I saw modifieds of that type at Star, and I think Star is a really good track for them. For them to race there, it was a really good race. Hirschman and Nocella were the 1-2 to start, but there was battles all the way around the track. Nocella and Hirschman were both right on each other the whole race. It was pretty clean for 76 laps. I think there was only 3 cautions, I think, and one of them was because of a mechanical issue. The other two were because of a 1 or 2 car spin. But I will just say, I do want to give a shout-out to Matt Swanson. He runs part-time in the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour, and he runs full-time in the Modified Racing Series. And I was talking to him in the pits before he got into his car. And he's running 63 races this year because he's full-time in the NES, part-time in the Whelen Modified Tour, full-time in the Modified Racing Series, and full-time in the Monaco Tri-Track Series. So shout-out to him for being a racer. 63 races is a lot.
That's insane.
For those that may want a little thing, that NASCAR Cup Series guys run 36 races a year on the schedule. Swanson's doing almost twice that. But, yeah, great event at Star, and then obviously Hudson yesterday. Double points for the Sportsman Modifieds. That saw the 11X of Tyler Leary with the win. Cole Littlewood finished second. Pro 4 Modifieds was a 16 car field. And we actually had Brett Meservey running in that, and Max Zackham both run Open Tour Mods. Max Zackham's actually also a part-time NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour driver. But great racing throughout for Hudson. Sportsman Modifieds, I mean, they only had four cars, which kind of sucked. But I mean, besides that, all the racing this weekend was really solid. Great weekend for short tracks, that's for sure. At least in New Hampshire.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I saw that they had...
Especially for Star on Saturday when Monadnock rained out, White Mountains rained out, yeah. Oxford rained out. So Star and Seekonk were the only short tracks in the region that were that ran on Saturday.
Definitely a good weekend in general. I mean, the weather definitely played a role, but as you said, for those tracks who did run, it was awesome.
It was hot.
That's true.
But I will say the amount of people that showed up at Star on Saturday was amazing. Like I obviously get there earlier, so I showed up at like probably 12:30. Gates didn't open till 3, and there was already people in our parking lot, like tailgating, like it was like NASCAR was racing at Star. Like you had the Cup Series and Xfinity Series running at Star on Saturday. There was just a lot of people. There was a lot of, I mean, there's usually a lot of campers at Star, but there was even more for the Saturday event. And we ran Friday too, but even then, Saturday was just, the amount of people that showed up was just awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like I said, I'm really, I've said it before in other episodes, I'm really happy that the short track scene, especially in here in New Hampshire, is definitely getting going again. I know, like I had mentioned in the past, there were times where it was like, what's going on? How is this going to happen? And happy to see, you know, tracks starting to unite and work together and not compete with each other. Because you have to acknowledge that you have a pool, and it's not a big pool in the state of New Hampshire. So if you're going to have that pool all running on the same day, then car counts all around are going to be bad. Everything's going to be low. Which is why I love the fact that, you know, Claremont and Lee and Hudson all work together now so that, you know, and Monadnock did it, was a part of that at one point, but like everybody works together and everybody, you know, tries not to compete with each other. And it's definitely a good situation.
And, obviously, like I said, I didn't announce that Star on Saturday cause it was a rental event, but, they had John Espernet, who the track announcer at Hudson, did it on Saturday, and you had a lot of the people from Race Day TV actually at Star just to go and watch. Mm-hmm. And that was just awesome.
Good time.
I did get to be the only time I did speak on the microphone was during before the modified race was, for the racing guys is Dick Williams, who's the main reason the Racers Honoring Racers event happens in the first place. He presented a Ladies of Racing Awards to 4 or 5 women. I forget the exact number, but I got to be on the mic. They kind of introduced that, so that was pretty cool.
That's amazing. Good job. Well done. So any other thoughts on Short Track Saturday?
Our second MRS race is finally happening. I haven't talked about them in a while because our first race was in Waterford May 4th. And well, Saturday was our MRS points event, but it wasn't a banner event. So this Saturday at Wiscasset Speedway, the Modified Racing Series will be back in action for their second race of the season because their second one originally at Riverside got rained out a couple weeks ago while we were in Loudoun. So I will not be with the MRS that weekend, but we'll get to that later in the show.
For sure. All right, cool. Well, moving on here, let's quickly touch on the world sports or world's racing here because we do want to talk about NASCAR in Chicago. Real quick, though, Formula One raced in the British Grand Prix. Here's your top three. Finishing third was Lando Norris. Max Verstappen finished second, and Lewis Hamilton got the win. Now, I did catch the end of this race, and it was competitive. Those three were close. Obviously, we had some differing tire strategies. Hamilton and Norris were both on softs, and Verstappen was on hard. And Norris, I don't know if he just didn't manage his tires correctly or whatever, but Verstappen was able to catch him with about 5 laps to go, and then only finished a second and a half or so behind Hamilton. He came back from almost 7 seconds with about 10 laps to go. And he was able to manage, you know, and work on his tires. Hamilton did the same exact thing. First race win for Hamilton in a long, long time. Happy to see him win it. It's his home race as well. And let me just quickly talk, because I know we've, a couple weeks ago we were talking about this. We haven't in a while, but Formula One right now is super competitive, which is awesome. You know, I know Verstappen has just kind of ran away with races and just really just did what Verstappen's been doing. But Norris is up here now. Piastri's up here. Hamilton, George Russell won a couple weeks ago. I want to say that this is the fifth or sixth different winner this season, which is just incredible for a series that, as we talked about in the past, is very, here's your standard, here's your cookie cutter, and that's where you're going to sit for the whole year, to be able to have, you know, comers and goers throughout the season. It's pretty impressive. So happy to see that. Did you catch anything from Formula One, or want to talk about anything from Formula One?
I did not catch Formula One, no.
Okay, that's fine. Moving on here, IndyCar ran in mid-Ohio, and this was a huge weekend for them because they debuted the new hybrid engine power package that we're going to talk about in a minute. But here's your top three. Scott McLaughlin finished third, Alex Palou second, and Pato O'Ward won the race. Now, I will admit, I did not catch any of the race. I went to rewatch it last night, and the DVR glitched. But one of the biggest things that I did catch and followed throughout the weekend was that they were debuting this hybrid power system, which basically, it, for those of you who are out there going, oh my goodness, a hybrid engine, ugh. Basically, it's kind of the same thing Formula One's been doing with their hybrid engines. And what I mean by that is that you have an engine, regular combustion engine, or regular car standard engine. I don't know if it's combustion or fuel injected, but anyways, now I'm questioning my own comment there. But anyways, and then on top of that, you have a battery that's kind of like additional power, right? So you have this when they're under, you know, braking, when they're coasting, when they're slowing down, it's recharging that battery. Then when they're on throttle, it's pushing out more horsepower. So it's not anything where it's like, you know, IndyCar is now electric. No, it's really just additional power that's coming along with this hybrid engine. Now, one of the things that happened, and I don't know if it was officially confirmed as to why this happened, but Scott Dixon, a championship contender, went out on the track to do warm-ups, didn't even make a lap, and the car just shut off. Now, again, I'm not sure if they've confirmed what the reasoning was, but he got a DNF. They put him in as a mechanical failure, and a lot of people on social media, and that's how I'm going to preface this with and say a lot of people on social media are saying that it was related to this hybrid engine issue, like hybrid engine. I don't really know if it is or it isn't, but I will say that if it was, that is something that just is very, very frustrating, because here we are midway through a season. We debut with something brand new, which again, I'm not saying is a bad thing, but if you're going to debut with something and it's the reason why one of your championship contenders has a bad day, that's not good. You know, and again, I'm all for trying new things, but I will also say that in general, I don't ever have a good gut feeling when you debut something midway through the season. You know, it's like NASCAR a couple years ago saying, hey, guess what? Starting in Richmond, we're going to run the next gen car. What? Yeah, we're just going to throw it right into the competition. You know, and I would like to believe that the manufacturers and everybody have run their tests on the hybrid engine, and I know they did a test session a couple weeks ago. Like, I'm trusting IndyCar in that degree, but if this is the reason why Dixon was unable to continue in the race the other day, that is not a good look. Jordan is shaking his head no too, just so you know. So again, I don't know if that's for sure what the reasoning was. And again, I will continue to put that asterisk next to this because I don't want people out there saying, oh, well, Devin Pozsny said. No. I have my theories because usually when a car just shuts off and doesn't recycle, it's all related to the electrical, which, by the way, we have a new component in the electrical system. Now, I don't know. I don't know what the reason was, but I can tell you that the fact that he wasn't able to finish the race and it was the same weekend that they debuted a new hybrid power system seems very coincidental. And again, I'm not trying to point fingers, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope that it was something else, but it's definitely not a good situation there. Jordan, any thoughts on IndyCar and or the power unit or anything I just said?
No, because I think you hit it on all cylinders. I agree with what you said.
Yeah, and like I said, I hope that I'm wrong. I'm hoping that, you know, at the end of the day, that it wasn't anything related to the power system, because I think what they're trying to do, it's great. You know, I've read somewhere that when they're on the power, on the gas, they're getting up to 120 extra horsepower for overtaking and everything. I think it potentially is going to create, you know, a more competitive situation and a more competitive racing environment. I think what they're trying to do is great. I would hate for day one, you know, here we go, we're going to roll out, and guess what? One of the championship contenders just got dumped out of the field because of a mechanical failure or something like that. So, anyways, moving on. NASCAR raced in the streets of Chicago. Before we go to the actual races, Jordan, do you want to talk about this electric car that they debuted?
No.
Okay.
It's stupid.
Jordan does not like it.
No, but it would be kind of funny, though, in that whenever that comes into play and it's like, oh, man, Kyle Larson DNF because his battery died in his car. Oh.
So there is a lot of confusion out there as to what this is, because so for those of you who might not be an avid watcher, might just be a casual fan, NASCAR came out on Friday and said, hey, guess what, guys, we have this all-electric car. And it was all electric. It was not hybrid. It was not part engine, part battery. It was all electric. And they did some, you know, test runs on the streets. They did, you know, standing start. You know, it's pretty impressive. It looked pretty cool. Now, NASCAR did not give much information as to, like, hey, this is coming in 2027, that it's going to be an electric series, or this is going to replace the Cup Series, which I don't think is ever going to happen. But a lot of people immediately went into speculation mode and said, oh my goodness, it's, you know, this is going to be the future. This is going to be the future Cup car. This is ridiculous. Some people on social media were commenting, once this car starts racing, I'm done watching. I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding and miscommunication, and people need to understand that, one, NASCAR hasn't even come out with anything yet. NASCAR hasn't even come out with you know, a plan or an agenda or anything like that. I think it simply is going to be a fourth series that runs its own thing. But even then, like I said, NASCAR hasn't come out with anything yet. So everybody out there who's freaking out about this, take a chill pill and just relax. Wait for NASCAR to make its next move. So, anyways, but I will say it is cool to see NASCAR come out with a full body stock car that has an all electric engine. You know, NASCAR has always prided itself on sort of following what the real world is doing. And by having, you know, you look at the real world, there are all electric vehicles out there. So here we are, the real world has electric vehicles, so why doesn't NASCAR have an electric vehicle? So I think that's cool. I think that'll be it'll be neat to see what they do with it. But we don't know what they're doing with it, and everybody who's freaking out about it, I think, needs to just relax. Let's quickly talk about the Xfinity Series race here. A beautiful Saturday afternoon in Chicago. Oh my goodness, Jordan. The battle between Shane Van Gisbergen and Kyle Larson for the first stage and a half was incredible. These two drivers battling for the top spot, crossing each other over, going back and forth, no contact, no disrespect. Heck, down the straightaways, they were putting out the thumbs up down the out the window to each other, basically saying, this is so much fun. Thank you. You know, like, you're racing me clean. This is so much fun. It was an amazing battle, ultimately ending with Van Gisbergen able to kind of sort of gap the field here and win the race, picking up right where he left off last year with the Cup Series race. Your top five for the Cup Series, or the Xfinity race, I should say, was Van Gisbergen in first, Ty Gibbs second, Kyle Larson third, Parker Kligerman finished fourth, and Jesse Love rounds out your top five. Jordan, your thoughts on the Xfinity race on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I thought, I mean, you can tell, like, it's still new to all the drivers and Xfinity and Cup, but, I mean, that battle that Shane Van Gisbergen and Kyle Larson had was just awesome to watch for half that race. And Ty Gibbs had a great view of it. He was in third watching this pretty much the whole time.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. I mean, we kind of sort of had a feeling that it could be Kyle Larson and Shane going after each other, you know, battling, competing. And I think that, you know, it definitely lived up to the hype. Any other thoughts on Xfinity before we move on to Cup? Because I have a feeling the Cup Series is going to be the majority of the rest of this this segment.
The NASCAR, I mean, what else to say about Shane Van Gisbergen? He is what he is. I mean, obviously he's still working on the ovals, which has been a struggle as of late. He was looking good early on the ovals, but now lately it's been a struggle. But he has three wins this year on road course at Portland and Sonoma, two road courses, and of course a street course where he won. And his first ever time in a stock car, he just wins again in the Xfinity. So now he has three wins, and I don't even know where that puts him in the. I'll look at the standings real quick. In the Xfinity Series, he still says 11th in the overall standings, but he's fourth in the playoff points right now.
So the unfortunate thing about that
actually, this is kind of weird. So I think he's first because it has Allgaier at 15, Chandler Smith at 15, Austin Hill at 13, Shane Van Gisbergen has 17, but has SVG listed as fourth. Hmm. So I don't know.
So the unfortunate thing is, and I feel like this is something that people need or people have already started thinking about, and it's kind of unfortunate, is that, you know, Shane Van Gisbergen is fourth in the playoff standings, 11th overall. Oh my goodness, he's got three wins. Is he a championship contender? I don't think he is, only because there's only one road course in the playoffs. I think he makes it to the round of eight. Like, I think he'll make it. I think he'll, if anything, he wins in Charlotte, which is the Roval, and that'll get him into the next round, which, if I'm not mistaken, is Martinsville, Texas, and Kansas, or something like that.
For the round of eight?
Yeah.
Vegas, Homestead, Martinsville.
That's it. Vegas, Homestead, Martinsville.
Kansas is round of 12. Kansas is the Xfinity Series' first playoff race.
Got it, okay. So, but that round of eight is three ovals, and they're very unique ovals, and maybe he is able to compete well at Homestead, because Homestead's kind of like a rip the wall and hold on. But even then, if you look at the ovals, you know, he's 11th overall in the standings because the majority of the schedule is ovals. So I just, unfortunately, I mean, and again, I don't want anyone out there thinking, wow, this guy's just spewing hate today. But, like, unfortunately, I think that he's not going to go very far just because of the experience he's had on the ovals, the amount of seat time he's had in the ovals. And you know what? If he was sitting right here talking to us today, he would say, absolutely. he's been very open and very honest and very, you know, just transparent and saying, yeah, we're, I'm good on oval or road courses, but the ovals, I'm, you know, I'm learning. So I think that if he runs the Xfinity Series again next year, that bodes well for him. And I think that would go well for him because he'll have a full year under his belt. But, like, he just – he needs more seat time on the ovals.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's move on. The NASCAR Cup Series running at the streets of Chicago. And, oh, my goodness, all up until about an hour before the race, it looked like it was going to be a picture-perfect day. Mother Nature was going to behave. We were going to have a great race. Here we go. And then – drivers, start your engines, and it's sprinkling. All right, we're going to put the wet weather tires on. Actually, we're going to let them decide what they want to do. Okay, we're going to go do a sight lap. All right, some people are putting wet weather. Some people are putting slicks on. Okay, we run a little bit. We run to the end of stage one-ish. We have a caution for Corey LaJoie. Then it starts raining. Then we go into a rain delay. NASCAR comes out and says, hey, at 8:40 or 8:20 Central, 9:20 Eastern, this race is over, no matter where we are. Okay, that's a little different, but we'll talk about that in a minute. And then we get going again in the rain. Couple accidents. NASCAR pulls them back down pit road. It says, okay, hold on, we need to go take some more water off the track. And then it pours more. An hour and 45 minutes later, we start running. We have 45 minutes left on this clock, and more or less, the NASCAR race in Chicago was a timed race. Joey Hand wins stage two. He's able to come in. They continue to run, and Alex Bowman able to get around him by making a gutsy gamble call, staying on wet weather tires instead of the NASCAR Goodyear slicks. Wins the race. Congratulations, Alex Bowman. And here's your top five. Bowman wins the race. Tyler Reddick second. Ty Gibbs third. Joey Hand fourth. And Michael McDowell fifth. Jordan, you texted me and said that you believe that the Chicago Street Course race is just not good. And I said, besides the weather, what makes it bad? And you said, the weather.
I mean, I think what NASCAR has to do now is, you did, because you've done it 2 years in a row now. You started the Chicago Street Course race for the Cup Series at dinner time, and the weather sucked both times. So now what NASCAR has to do is start it early. Think about starting it earlier, like they do at all the other tracks, and possibly avoid this issue.
It's tough because, unfortunately, at the end of the day, the TV is what dictates this, right? You know, NBC said, hey, you know, we can kind of have a, they, one of their biggest races last year was the street course. So if we put it at 4:30, then it kind of pulls it into prime time. The end of the race is in prime time on a Sunday night, huge viewership. I get it, but I agree with you. You know, you are now, this is the second year in a row that you're looking at a race that is running later, which, again, I have no issues with a 4:30 start. I have no issues with a 3:30 start at Loudoun or 2:30 start at Loudoun. I have no issues with those things. But now this is the second year in a row that you are now running against the darkness. Same thing that happened at Loudoun a couple weeks ago. Same thing that happened at Loudoun in 2023. You know, we ran into the darkness. 21. Oh, right, because 23 was in Monday. Sorry. But anyways, so point is I agree with you. I think that you need to, in the summer months, you need to put these races earlier. This way you have a bigger window for when Mother Nature shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jordan, let me ask you real quick. There are obviously things that we are unaware of when it comes to the restrictions in place for the city of Chicago, but NASCAR coming out and saying at 8:20 Central Time, this race is over, no matter where we are. What are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an interesting rule because obviously that was a rule that was in place for Loudoun too that we almost actually got to, but we were very close to getting to at Loudoun, obviously.
Hmm.
But yeah, I think I like the rule because you give the drivers a heads up beforehand instead of like calling it, oh, it's dark, white flag right here.
Yeah.
Like they did at Loudoun a few years ago.
Or 10 laps to go now. Yeah.
Yeah, 2021, they did it louder. Where it was all of a sudden, it was like, we just cut the race short of 40 laps.
Yep.
So you got 5 laps to go. So I do like that rule for the tracks that don't have lights, because you give the drivers know what time the sun goes down. We knew what the drivers were told, even during the first rain delay, this is what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going into the car not having to guess if they were going to make it or not. So I do like the rule, and I think NASCAR did a good job of telling the drivers way beforehand that this was how it's going to be.
No, I agree. And I guess my thought, though, is does this now compete with the rule of end of stage 2 or halfway, whichever one comes first? You know, like, because let's say...
They got through stage 2.
No. But let me back up here. You had said that they announced that at the beginning, before the first rain delay, which roughly happened...
I think it depends on... if they get to halfway. I don't think they would, if let's say they don't call, like if they, we never got back racing after the delay, they would have just ran it Monday. I don't think they would have just been like, oh, we're just going to call it. I honestly think a lot of it depends on where they are.
So, but Chicago's unique though, because Monday's not an option. Those streets need to be open.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So like I think you're right. Let's put it in Loudoun, right? Let's change the scenario a little bit. You know, you're shy of halfway at New Hampshire Motor Speedway and it rains the rest of the day. Yeah, I agree that you would say, and maybe you say, hey, by the way, at 8:30 we're done, no matter what. Okay, well, we're not halfway. Like, I feel like the situation yesterday in Chicago was very unique because of the rules in place put in by the city and the agreement of NASCAR. And that's why I think they came out and said, 8:30 we're done. Meaning we're done because we have to start tearing down walls. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting because if I don't know how people would have felt about Alex Bowman or who was leading at the time. It was Christopher Bell, I think, at the end of stage 1-ish, you know, or Van Gisbergen, according to NASCAR.com, had the stage 1 win. So let's say he's leading, and guess what? 8:30 or 8:20 comes along. Congratulations, you won the race. You only ran 20 laps. Like, I think people out at home would be very upset with that. So, let's talk about NASCAR's decision to let the teams decide when to go to wet weather tires and when to stay on slicks. I feel like that was a really good decision by NASCAR because it was very similar to what you'd see on a regular road course.
Yeah, I think that's how they should do that. I think that's what they should have done for Loudoun.
Mm.
Too is that, because that was a big controversy after Loudoun, was, oh, NASCAR doesn't let the team decide on when to go to wet. So I think that's probably the best choice for NASCAR, is to let the drivers decide. So, because it's a different strategy. I mean, look, Bowman held off everyone on slicks, and Reddick was faster than Bowman until Reddick hit the wall.
Right.
At turns, I forget what turn he hit the wall in.
I think it was turn 5. But yes, no, I know what you're saying. And I will say, I understand why NASCAR didn't let it happen at Loudoun, just because of the unknowns of running on an oval and wet weather tires and everything. I get it. But I did like the fact that even the beginning of the race, they were like, hey, we're going to let you go do a sight lap. You make a decision. You know, we're not going to tell you yay or nay. It's going to be your choice. Because it kind of sort of lets the teams, you know, decide if they want to take the risk or play it safe. But, Does NASCAR come back to the street course next year?
Yes.
Don't sound so excited.
I think they do, yeah.
I think their contract is good for one more year. There are rumblings that Formula One's going to go run on the street course streets of Chicago starting in 2027. So I don't know if that means that next year would be the final year. But anyways... but let me, like, if NASCAR has the option to say, you know what, we're not going to go back, we're going to try this again? Or do you think, if you were NASCAR, do you think you say, you know what, guys, it was fun, but let's not?
I think they'll give it one more shot next year, at least.
I agree with you, especially when you have the amount of fans that you had show up. You know, that place was packed, and they did a great job of making this like festival like situation because of the fact that, you know, they had concerts going on, everything going on, pre-race. You know, you were paying triple digits times however many to be able to go to this event. But this event was offering a race and concerts and everything. So I think it was definitely, I think it's definitely something that NASCAR's, it's working. I know that there was so much hype, so much enthusiasm, so much excitement going into it. I mean, the mayor of Chicago was standing on pit road in a fire suit. Like, there was so much hype around it. And I think it's great. I think if Mother Nature decided to show up the way she did on Saturday compared to Sunday, the event would have been perfect. I think it would have been a great race. But it just unfortunate set of circumstances that NASCAR did everything in their power to be able to go. But I will say, going back to that whole idea of, well, we need the streets open on Monday, does that make it so that if you were NASCAR, you say, you know what, we're going to do a doubleheader on Saturday. This way we have Sunday as a backup.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you run an Xfinity race Saturday at, let's say, noon, and then you run the Cup race Saturday at 3:30, 4 o'clock. Run the doubleheader, and then this way you have Sunday as a backup instead of Monday being a hard stop.
Right.
So that's just my idea. I don't know if NASCAR would go for it. I don't know if NBC would go for it, but I think that if you're going to do this and you have a hard stop like on Monday, you need to have a backup plan in place.
I agree.
So any other thoughts on the Cup race in Chicago?
No.
Okay. All right. So I think overall, good weekend. I think NASCAR did everything in their power. I think all the things that were engineered and put into place did their job. And I think overall, it's one of those unique situations once again that just it worked out to the best of their abilities. But my goodness, was it a crazy sight to see.
It was.
Just like how six wide at Loudon and when we were racing in the wet. But anyways,
Auto Club Speedway.
Yeah, we were running Auto Club style at Loudon a couple weeks ago. But anyways, Jordan, looking ahead to Pocono.
Before we get there, I don't know if you saw the news out of AM Racing today.
Oh, yes. Haley Deegan and them have officially parted ways, effective immediately.
Yes. So obviously this is kind of a move you could see coming. And it's kind of probably put it in for sure when Joey Logano finished eighth in that car.
Hmm.
Or sixth, whatever he finished. Something in the top 10 in the Xfinity race. And I do know for a fact now that driving that 15 car for Saturday at Pocono will be Josh Berry.
Hmm.
So, but yeah, obviously that's something people have talked about. There's like maybe they give her the rest of the year. Maybe they part ways earlier, which is, you don't really see NASCAR teams do that mid-season like that.
Yeah.
So it would be curious to see where, if they keep having different drivers go into the 15 or they try to find a full-time driver like RSS, Ryan Sieg's team, did with Matt DiBenedetto in the 38 where he was running part-time there after getting rid of CJ McLaughlin and then had decided that DiBenedetto was going to run full-time.
Mm-hmm.
In that 38 car for them. So I wonder if they're going to try to find a full-time for the 15 or if they're going to keep swapping out drivers because obviously it was Logano last week. It's going to be Josh Berry this week.
It'll be interesting for sure. I wish Haley Deegan the best of luck. and finding another ride and all that. I hope that she, you know, everything goes according to plan for her and getting back into a competitive situation. But definitely, you're right. You can see it kind of coming. Logano kind of struggled some parts of the day on Saturday, but was able to, as you said, finish in the top 10. So that was kind of a hey, look what we can do. And I, you know, it's unfortunate because I think Deegan has a lot of talent, but I think that she just has struggled to find the ride to be able to showcase that talent. So, anyways, moving on here to Pocono. Jordan, what you got going on this weekend and how you feeling going into Pennsylvania?
Oh, do I have something coming up this weekend?
Yeah, of course. It's racing in Pocono. I don't know how much you can and can't tell, so that's what I'm going to say. I'm just going to leave it to you.
I mean, since it is official, I can. So I will be having a different vantage point for this weekend at Pocono. Obviously, I will not be a fan this weekend because I will be actually working all three races at Pocono this upcoming weekend for Essentially Sports. I'll be actually partnering up with a longtime SiriusXM report radio host, Claire B. Lang, as well. So I'll be driving to Pocono probably early Thursday morning. And I'm going to be capturing a lot of like fan stuff, going to be doing a lot of driver interviews, doing a lot of sponsor work. And I'm going to be covering all three races, the Craftsman Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Cup Series. So big weekend ahead. First time I really have an opportunity. Actually, it is the first time I have an opportunity like this, not kind of the first, but definitely a different vantage point I'm used to. I do have a Zoom meeting with NASCAR tomorrow morning just because of I'm a media credential member, so I have to. So everyone that has this for a weekend has to do this. So mm-hmm. I have all that going on, so it's going to be kind of different.
That's awesome. First of all, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
And good luck as well. I'm excited to hear about your adventures next weekend on short track weekend. I guess we'll just call it a weekend recap for you. But it'll be cool. Definitely go check out Essentially Sports on social media, I'm assuming, and their website to then be able to follow along with the content that Jordan gets this weekend.
And the Lucky Dog on Track social media page, too.
Okay.
And Fan Controlled Sports.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So let me ask you your thoughts in general going into this weekend. Obviously, being a media member, you might not be able to necessarily talk about it too much. You need to be impartial, right? But what are your thoughts going into Pocono?
I'm looking forward to it. It'll be my first time going outside New Hampshire to watch a NASCAR in person. So I'm looking forward to going to the Turkey Triangle. Obviously, I always enjoy watching the racing on TV there. I always think it produces good racing for all three series. So I'm looking forward to really seeing that again, or hope to see that again, which I'm sure we will.
I assume we will, too.
And I do know that New York NY Racing is having J.J. Yealey back in the Cup Series for Sunday as well. That was announced, too.
Cool.
A full entry list hasn't come out yet, but obviously there's kind of stuff that are coming out. So I did see that J.J. Yealey and the NY Racing team will be fielding a car.
Sweet. That's exciting. What are your thoughts? Who's your picks, I should say, for Sunday's Cup race?
For Sunday's Cup race, I'll just go with Denny Hamlin, number one. Just because, you know, he's the all-time winner there, and he's won. Actually, I guess technically he hasn't won the last 2 years there, because obviously he got DQ'd in 22. But Hamlin, Larson, and trying to think, like, a lot of people run really well at Pocono. So Hamlin, Larson, and I'll go with Tyler Reddick.
It's a good solid.
Just because Reddick the last few weeks has had a really strong run. So, I mean, he's been good all year, but the last few weeks he's had a really strong run. So I think he'll continue that.
I would say that's a good pick for sure. Cool. Well, any other final thoughts here looking back at Chicago or looking ahead to Pocono?
Well, you kind of skipped over the Craftsman Truck and Xfinity Series. You usually go over the weekend schedule. You haven't done that.
Oh, my goodness.
You want me to do it since I have it up right now?
If you would like to, yes. Sorry, totally spaced. So,
track action begins Friday, July 12th with the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series practice and qualifying at 2 p.m. on FS2. And then at 5:30, also on Friday, you'll have the CRC Bracklin 175 Craftsman Truck Series race on FS1 and MRN. And then Saturday, you got a busy day for me as well. Is at 10 a.m., you have Xfinity Series practice and qualifying on USA. And then at noon, you have Cup Series practice and qualifying. And then at 3 p.m., you'll have the Explore the Pocono Mountains 225 NASCAR Xfinity Series race on USA and MRN. And then on Sunday, of course, you have the Great American Getaway 400 at 2:30 for the NASCAR Cup Series, also on USA.
It should be honestly a really exciting weekend.
I think when we do the show next week that I'll be able to have like more insight too, because obviously now that I have a media credential, I'll be able to get driver interviews, and I believe I'll be able to go in the driver's meetings and the press passes too, like the press conference after each race. So I believe I'll be able to go to that too. I'm not too sure. I don't know how it works.
Just figure it out as you go along, but that'll be cool regardless. Like I said, good luck with everything. We wish you the best of luck and have fun with it down there for sure.
And to the people that could possibly be attending, you will, since it is also part of my job to capture fans. Well, I say me, but it's not just me. We have a whole team. But Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at Pocono, there's a Pocono Raceway infield block party happening. So if any people, because I know a few people that I know personally that'll be at Pocono that weekend. So if anybody goes to any of those events, I will be there. So I think that's it.
Sweet.
I can't think of anything else.
No, that's awesome. Like I said, wish you the best of luck. Good luck with everything, and definitely have fun. Stay safe down there.
It's going to be weird going to more than one NASCAR race. You're obviously, we're already planning on the Daytona one, but now it's like, oh, this is impromptu.
It'll be good. I'm excited for you for sure. Any other final thoughts from this past weekend or looking ahead to Pocono and beyond?
Do we talk about what's been released for the schedule so far for next year?
No, I don't. We talked about some stuff in the past, but nothing else is really official yet, so we won't talk about it.
Well, even though it's been kind of been reported by a few reporters,
but nothing's official yet, Jordan. Don't make me get into this argument with you on air. There are talks of things being moved around for sure next year, but that happens every year. So we'll have to see what happens with that. Hopefully in coming weeks, though, they'll release the schedule and we'll talk about it then.
I think I was told it was going to be released after the Chicago weekend. Mm-hmm. But who knows? Last year, it was like, oh, it's going to come after this, and we didn't get it till like, I think, almost Halloween, I think.
Yeah. It was late last year.
But apparently, according to what Jeff Gluck has said, Bob Pockers has said, it should be coming like very soon.
Yeah, we'll have to see for sure. I think once that happens, we'll dive into it we'll deep dive into it. So, cool. All right. Well, like I said, good luck this weekend. Have fun with everything. Thanks for jumping on the air with us today.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, hey, folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, follow us on social media. We're working on getting more consistent with this, I promise. But for Jordan Jenkins, I'm Devin Poslesny. Have a great night, everybody, and we'll see you all for the next episode of Racing Hotspot.